Good morning. I'm Alan Lytle, 91.3 WUKY News. It is time once again for the business side, our weekly look at some economic news in the bluegrass. And of course, what's going on at Keeneland is of keen interest for a lot of folks. We're talking about the September yearling sale. And joining me on the phone today is Natalie Voss with the Pollock Report. Good morning, Natalie.
Good morning, Alan.
You've been keeping an eye on what's going on at the yearling sale. What are your general impressions so far?
Well, so far it looks to be another strong edition of the September yearling sale, which is traditionally the biggest of the public yearling auctions in North America.
And one that was making headlines I saw was $8.2 million for a one filly.
Yes, that is the sale topper price for this particular year's auction. That'll probably remain true. I don't expect we'll see anything higher than that in the next week. The filly was bought by Mandy Pope, who has been known to buy more than one horse in the seven-figure price range over the last several years. That filly tied for the fourth most expensive overall yearling to be sold in the history of the sale, and I believe she is now the most expensive filly to be sold at the sale in its history as well.
What is this business about books, and what's the significance of that?
So these larger sales are arranged into books, and when they say that, they literally mean books that are full of catalog pages telling you each horse's pedigree. They are front-loaded so that the horses who are expected to bring the biggest prices are arranged at the beginning of the sale, and then you have the middle market in the middle and the lower end of the market towards the end. So book one is typically where we see the real fireworks, and that was this year that took up 3 days, the first 3 days of the sale. So that is over with now.
Hefty prices, not for each and every one of these horses, but you know, when we talk about one that goes for $8.2 million, you can see the ceiling.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, she was the highest price by about $4 million, but there were quite a few others that broke the seven-figure barrier. There were a couple of bidding wars happening between old rivals in the thoroughbred business, and I think that drove some of those upper-end prices up a fair bit.
Give us an idea of just how much money can get spent in this total yearling sale, for instance, like last year.
So last year, over the course of the entire sale, which runs about 2 weeks, they sold just under 3,000 horses for just over $377 million for an average price of $129,331. So, of course, the $8.2 million type of horse is obviously the exception, but still obviously serious money going through this and into the local economy as well.
And there's more horses up for sale this year than there were last year, correct?
I believe so, yes. They have changed the way that they structure the books each year, so it gets a little bit hard to keep track of how many there are each year. But yes, I believe this year was up.
All right, and you know, this is all taking place not in a vacuum. I mean, we have this controversy about Justify failing a drug test. This came out in the New York Times last week before the Kentucky Derby. Did you pick up any scuttlebutt on record or off, more likely off the record, from these buyers about that situation?
Well, I think inside the industry, people have different opinions about the substance itself that was found in Justify's post-race test after the Santa Anita Derby. The substance that he tested positive for is commonly found in a type of weed that can sometimes end up in hay and straw. So there are some people that think this was clearly a contamination. There are other people who are less certain. But either way, there was really never a question about whether he would have been permitted to run in the Kentucky Derby, regardless of how the positive was ultimately handled. Trainers have a right to request a split sample, which means once they're told there's been a positive on one of their horses, they're allowed to ask that a bit of the remaining blood or urine that was not tested from their horse be sent to another lab for a second opinion. And the California Horse Racing Board, as with any other racing commission, cannot officially call a positive or impose any sanctions until that split is back. That split did not come back until after the Kentucky Derby. So there was never an opportunity for the horse to be disqualified from the Santa Anita Derby and put his Kentucky Derby status in question.
And I have to ask you also about the ongoing controversy about Santa Anita and horse deaths. Anything new on that?
Well, racing has been at Del Mar for the summer. Santa Anita closed up its meet right around the Santa Anita Derby, actually, or just after, I think. And they switched over to Del Mar for most of the summer. Del Mar had no racing fatalities, and they implemented a lot of the same safety changes and updates that we were seeing towards the very end of the Santa Anita meet. So people are sort of hopeful that when racing returns to Santa Anita this fall, that we will continue to see a much improved situation out there.
When the sale is over, we'll bring it back on and we can do a complete recap of the yearling sale and maybe even a preview of the October meet. How's that sound, Natalie?
That sounds wonderful.
All right. Our guest today on the business side has been Natalie Voss with the Pollock Report. And you can hear the director's cut of our interview at WUKY.org. Have a great week ahead, Natalie.
Thanks. You too.